Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be starting off the show today with something that I know is fascinating to just about everybody, and that's numerology. We've got a great guest today, Michael Brill. He's got two fabulous books out, Numerology for Decoding Behavior and Numerology for Healing. But what's even more fun, due to the wonders of technology, he is in Thailand, and it is Tuesday morning for him, and it is Monday afternoon for me, and lo and behold, he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and just as enthusiastic as anyone could ever be, being up that early in the morning in such a beautiful country. Welcome, Michael, to the show.
Thank you so much.
It is so much fun being able to chat with you, because when I found out about your material a couple of months back and we had a chance to interact a little bit, you were on your way to Thailand. You have met the love of your life and you are moving there. You've got to tell us about this.
Okay, I'm going to make it short. It'll only be a three-day story.
No, it has to be a minute and a half.
I was living in Aztec, New Mexico. They had opened up a Thai restaurant. I'd have been having visions for weeks about a Thai woman, an Oriental woman, on top of a pyramid. One day, an Aztec pyramid. One day she flew off, came into my face. I could see what she looked like. I would go to this Thai restaurant once a month and do readings for the owners and the work help. And I'd get free food. One day I did this waitress, and she said, "Would you do my sister? She'll be here in 2 weeks." I went back in 2 weeks. Her sister was there with her daughter and her daughter's fiancé. And we sat down. She said, "Is there some place we can go talk?" I noticed she had a wedding band on. And I said, "If you're comfortable, we can go to my home." And I'm looking at her the whole time, and she looks really, really familiar. And so we talk, and we come back to the restaurant. And on the way back, she says, "I've seen your face, and I've heard your voice for 15 years. I go, "Oh, my
amazing.
God, this is the woman that's in my visions." And then I go, "And Spirit, the reason you brought this woman into my life who's married?" And they said, "To teach you patience." And so she divorced a couple years later, nothing to do with me. And then we would see each other about four times a year. She's a chef, travels around. And so I retired from teaching last year and said, "I'm coming to Thailand." She said, "Okay." So she's a U.S. citizen and a Thai citizen, and I'm living up near Chiang Mai in the northwest part of the country.
Love, love story.
That's
story. So that's why I wanted you to share it. It just is an example of how life presents some fascinating phenomena. Now let's go back to what you said at the beginning, and that is that you were doing numerology for people at the restaurant. Now you have put together two fascinating books. Let's talk for a minute, or just a little bit, about the first one, Numerology for Healing. Now, you told me before we went on the air that this is more for practitioners, and you're going to be teaching of this in future periods. And you said that this is something that really enables practitioners of different modalities to assist the people that come to see them. How is that possible? You know, someone may say, what does numerology have to do with wellness?
Okay, very good question. The purpose of this book, it takes 200 illnesses and diseases, turns that illness or disease into a string of numbers. For example, Alzheimer's disease reduces to a 7. Breast cancer reduces to a 1. And using gematria, which is an ancient Kabbalistic art, what they did with gematria is they would convert the letters of a word, a passage, into its Hebrew equivalent, of numerology, and then they would interpret the vibratory frequency of the word. Well, I've done that with the English language. And so Alzheimer's, for example, comes out to be a number 7. And very briefly, there's two causes for Alzheimer's disease. Cause number 1, negative 7, you've been in control all your life. You've made a deal with the universe. If you don't learn how to let go, you're going to be put in a position where you have no control. You'll be bathed, you'll be fed, you'll be wiped, you'll be dressed, you'll be taken care of. The opposite side of that coin, of the 7, the martyr doing everything for everybody all the time, trying to maintain control to be loved and avoid abandonment, is retaliation. I've done for you all my life. Nobody's done for me, kids, family, whatever, husband, partner. And so now it's your turn to do for me. And so by being able to look at the emotional and psychological behavior patterns that have caused a specific health issue, the practitioner, whether they're a homeopathist or an allopathic doctor or someone working with essential oils, you will know the emotional and psychological foundation that's involved here. And with your expertise and this background knowledge, you can be more accurate in your treatment of the individual.
Well, that gives a unique tool.
It's a very unique tool, very powerful. The reason I say it's not for the masses is on page 50 of that book, I've laid out the human personality matrix. The cornerstone of my work, and my website has an article, it's awakener.com, awakener.com. The first article on the website deals with abandonment issues, the illusion of being separated from source instead of an extension of source. And so once we come into this world, we either do things to maintain control or we do things to be loved. And we move back and forth along that spectrum until we eventually get the courage to do what we love, not to be loved or to maintain control. That's the underlying cause of all health issues. And so this matrix that I've developed, there's 9 basic personality patterns because there's only 9 numbers. Inside each of those 9 numbers are 9 aspects of each personality. Inside those 9 aspects are 8 repetitive patterns that are reactive in their makeup. Reactive meaning you don't think about it, you react, and usually it's a negative reaction to be loved, to maintain control. If you can identify within that pattern, the 2 most frequently occurring patterns, the rest of the patterns all synchronize, snap into place, and your life becomes a joy. And it takes a lot of work. It's very easy. I would love to teach this. If anybody's interested, give me a call, pay my plane ticket, and I'll come out. It's an amazing system.
Well, it really does work. Yeah, I think it's so interesting because mathematics is a language all of its own. And my apologies for the special sound effects of my Scottish Terrier deciding to be watchdog all of a sudden. He keeps me company whenever I do my show. He's usually right at my feet, and he usually is so quiet, you can hear a pin drop, but all of a sudden he exploded. Anyway, what I'm looking at is when we work with the science of numbers, and you obviously have dedicated a great deal of your life to doing this. What is it that stimulated you to go into this direction with numerology? Was it curiosity? Did you have some major aha moment? What was it?
I was working. I quit teaching and went into aerospace. I wasn't making enough money to support my family. And my 2 office mates quit, and a young woman came in and took their place, a temp worker, and we were talking one day, and she said she was seeing a numerologist. And I said, well, what is that? Well, this guy takes the letters of your name and the numbers of your birthday, tells you all about yourself. I said, yeah, blow it out your ear. And 2 weeks later, I'm so stressed. I said, okay, give me this guy's phone number. And I called him up, and he blew my socks off. And I asked to study with him, and I apprenticed to him for about 8 years. And that's how I learned the basics and discovered that I'm really a number disguised as a human being. The numbers, it leaves me speechless. I'm trying to say something, but the numbers are absolutely incredible. You know, if you look at the Judeo-Christian Bible, in the very beginning it says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, a word is a vibratory sound. That sound is reduced to a number. There's only nine numbers. Everything in the universe can be reduced to a combination of the numbers 1 through 9. The number 0 represents God, Spirit, the universe. It is the sum total of the previous 9 numbers coming together. And the Big Bang that science is trying to figure out is those 9 numbers coming into the 0, and then the potential leads to creation. From creation, you get harmony. From harmony, you get unity, and from unity, you get partnership, and then the whole process starts all over again. The numbers can do anything. You can give me 3 single-digit numbers, I'll tell you what's going on in your life. The month and day you get married is the purpose of your wedding, your marriage. The month and day you get divorced is the reason it failed. There's really nothing you can't do with the numbers. And I just want to make one point, because it's coming up. November 11th, 2011. Everybody's freaking. 11-11-11. Mm-hmm. You're forgetting it's not 11-11-11. It's 11-11-2011.
Mm-hmm.
From a numerology standpoint, it's not a spectacular day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I just want to get my 2 cents in.
Fascinating. Well, I've had various experiences with people that have been involved in numerology. And my first one was many, many years ago. And the gentleman that was working with my numbers at the time, I had to laugh because when he did the numerology printout, and he really had a passion for it. And I was reading through the stuff, and he made a little notation down at the bottom after he had given his evaluation. He said, "Knowing you, Donna, you're going to prove me wrong in every one of the things I've said." And he was right, I did. But anyway, I found it so strange that he made that remark, but I'll have to share something with you. I was at an event about a month ago, and I met a lady who was very much into numerology, and she had a particular aspect of numerology she was working with, and so we sat down, and we were talking, and she said this, and she was like you described this gentleman that you met, extremely accurate in a lot of the things that she mentioned about me. And I thought, this is really intriguing. I've never met her. Here she is, and she's just working with numbers. And she was one of these people that numbers are very easy for her to deal with. And she really, really had a passion for the work that she was doing. And she used it as a counselor for people's careers. That's what she was using it for. And I thought, this is really fascinating. And I'm hoping to have her in one of my classes that I'm going to be putting on next year. But I really find it so fascinating, the detail that some people will have with it and the lack of detail that other people will have. How is it that one can become proficient with working with numbers?
You have a calling. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's your calling. It's the same that somebody becomes a fabulous athlete, a musician, an artist. It's your calling. It's your passion. It just seems to click within you. And for me, I was never very good at math. I want people to understand, you don't have to be good at math to be good with numerology. I failed 7th, 8th, and 9th grade mathematics. Never took anything beyond basic math. But that's all you need to decipher the universe. Numerology, you add 5 plus 4. You subtract 3 from 5. That's it. That's the extent of the mathematics. The key is to be able to spot the patterns that come into play. My work basically is dealing with emotional and psychological issues, why people do what they do, why their life isn't working, what they need to do to make their life work. What is your life work? What is your passion? What is your karma? How do you overcome it? This is the kind of things that I do with the numbers. And also projections for the future, things of that nature.
Give us an example of someone that you have worked with, Michael, and tell us about their numbers and relative to career achievement or whatever else you'd like to share.
Well, I'll do my numbers with you.
Oh, okay.
My middle name reduces to the number 7. And this is why the numbers, I think, were given to me, was just to help me get clarity. A number 7, there's 9 numbers, and the basic concepts involve 1 is self, 2 is others, 3 communication, social interaction, self-expression, 4 getting things done or not, 5 being flexible, dealing with change, 6 letting go of unrealistic expectations of self and others, don't be a martyr, provide service to others, 7 the teacher, healer, philosopher, but also someone that needs to be in control to make sure everybody's okay so that they'll be loved. Number 8 deals with money and stepping into your own personal power. 9 is the culmination of the previous 8 numbers, and it deals with learning to be in the world but not to be attached to anything in it. And so my middle name coming out to be a 7, as I was growing up, I would date the women I dated really got the benefit of my insecurities. I would buy clothes and presents and all kinds of things to let them see what an incredible person I was. And if they were with me, their life would be fabulous. But I was so insecure that I was attracted to people who had broken wings, so to speak, and I was going to come in and fix them. Once I started working with the numbers, these patterns just popped right out. My first name, Michael, comes out to be a 6, a counselor, an advisor, a bit of a perfectionist. And my month and day of birth is called the achievement number. This is actually the most important number in anybody's chart, your month and day of birth. If you can visualize a wheel, this is the hub. And everything you think, you feel, you eat, you wear, you dream, you fantasize about, all reduces to a number from 1 to 9, and they're all impacted by your month and day of birth number. It starts off as your core issue and ultimately can become your greatest strength. Mine was a 3, feelings of inadequacy, don't finish what you start, tendency to exaggerate, grandiose ideas, I was always going to make $1 million the next day, love music, got along well with people, was a little sarcastic, actually more than a little. And when you flip that around, the positive 3 is a writer, a speaker. When I was in 7th grade, the neighbor across the street was taking a degree in psychology, gave me a series of tests and says, you're going to grow up to be a writer. I was failing school. How was I going to be a writer? But this is what I've turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've written several books. And so I've taken my negative numbers and made them positive through my study of numerology. I love to share it with the world, but primarily it's a tool for me to become the best person I possibly can be. And my ahas, I hope to be able to share with the world, because we're all basically the same. There's only 9 personality types, basically, and everything else is a variation of those 9.
All right, then let's do something, because with my name, let's take, you break things down in your book, and you have all kinds of different things that can be tried, and you mentioned your middle name. Now, my first name came out to a 3, Donna, and Diane came out to a 6.
And what's your month and day of birth?
1/10.
Okay. Okay, 1 and 10 make 11.
Mm-hmm.
11 is the first of the master numbers. I chuckle at this, and I'll tell you why. 11 is the first of the master numbers. You've done enough work that you can actually see above the clouds. You can see the way it ought to be, but you're not given the power or the opportunity to make it like that, and so you wind up beating yourself. It's like a member of the Whip of the Month Club. You beat yourself and you wear out the whip, and then next month they send you another whip. The 11, and to reinforce that, the A on the end of your first name, whether it's Donna, Tabitha, Samantha, Martha, the A represents a little sticky note from your soul that if you don't pay attention to your intuition, oh, shoot, is what actually happens. I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda, why didn't I do that? So the A as the last letter on a name, first or middle or last, brings that behavior pattern of not always listening to your intuitive side. Then the 11 reduces to a 2. 1 and 1 is 2. Many numerologists don't use double-digit numbers. They only use single digits. But how do you know what kind of 2 it is? Is it a plain 2, 11 2, a 20, 20 slash 2, a 38 slash 2? You need to know the double numbers that make up the single digit. And also, you can find out whether those numbers are challenges to this individual or not. So when the number 2 comes up as a month and day of birth, the first question I ask is, as a child, were you called shy or timid? Did you have upper respiratory problems? Do you have difficulty with your neck, back, or spine? Any of that apply?
I don't know. I would say I would use the word reserved. I don't know that shy. Maybe shy would apply. I don't know. But I'd say reserved.
Timid?
I was very reserved. That's
okay.
I was raised just not to say anything. I didn't typically have respiratory problems. That wasn't something that was in my space. And
any speech problems?
Not really. Not really.
Okay.
No.
Well, if you weren't too timid and you weren't shy, then the flip side of that would be putting a little more padding on the end of the hammer as you beat people with the truth.
Well, I'm usually was very thoughtful before I would say something to someone because I'd probably get into trouble.
Right. Well, those are the two sides of the two achievement number. Either it's a shyness, a withdrawal, or you're beating people with the truth. Not when I say you, it's the general public. They want harmony, partnership. They're mediators, harmonizers, and balancers.
Yeah, that's me. I dislike very strongly conflict.
Right. That becomes the positive, too. Also, a little difficulty at times in the past when you're young, letting go of emotional or sentimental attachments. Now, if we take that and move it into your middle name, Diane, which is a 6, that would indicate when you were dating, because of your empathy with the 2 and the 6 of your middle name, you would be involved in trying to fix people. Again, broken wings, maybe somewhat similar to myself in the dating pattern, and possibly winding up as a martyr, taking on all the responsibility in a family to make sure everybody's okay, with unrealistic expectations of yourself and or other people within that group could lead to frustration.
Oh, yes, that happens very definitely.
Okay, then we go to your first name, which you said reduces to a 3, and it's actually D-O is 10, 21, it's a 21-3, and so 1 is male energy, 2 is female energy. That combination comes together 3 as the creator and the manifester. You don't like paperwork, you don't like doing the same thing twice the same way. You love to use your mind. And you like to turn things inside out and take a totally unique approach because otherwise you get bored with things.
That applies very true, yes. That's why I love doing my radio show.
Yes. Well, it's the number for communication as well. Now, if we look at your first name and your middle name, 3 and 6, it comes up to be a 9. And so by combining these two energies, we take a look at and your month and day of birth being 11, we look at the possibility in your earlier life that you were either doing to be loved or maintaining control because you knew what was right or you wanted to be validated by other people. Do you have a, the letter G as in George, P as in Paul, or a Y in your birth name?
No.
Okay, so that means you had a seven karma. Those three letters equal number seven. And so that just reinforces that need to be needed more so than people around you need you. And always having five plans, four backup, three crisis, two emergency, a worst case scenario, toss everything out the last second, do something impulsive, and there's that A and Donna coming up going, oh, why did I trust my intuition? A lot of that is going by now, but that was a lot of the pattern when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And all these numbers come together, form these patterns. And the patterns are what I can read. It's, you know, in between lifetimes, we do this review with Spirit, God. And we look at everything we've mastered, avoided, screwed up. And knowing that we're coming into a new age, we decide, okay, we're going to take all this stuff on in this lifetime. And so we pick the letters of our name. We pick the numbers of our birthday. The letters of the name represent our emotional and psychological self and the timing of events. The first 4 years of your life with the D in Donna and the D in Diane could have been quite restrictive.
Very much so.
Very conservative. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then with the O coming up at the age of five in your first name, there was a lot of family issues. And then the I in Diane for 9 years, beginning at 5 and going until 14, is a lot of emotional intensity that may not be expressed because we go back to your month and day of birth, reducing to a 2, which is your sensitivity to the environment that you're in. This is how you bounce around with all these numbers and begin to put a big picture together. So
mm-hmm.
after we pick the letters of our name and the numbers of our birthday, with the letters being our emotional and psychological self, and timing of events, the letters we omit is the karma. Karma is nothing more than unfinished business. And there's a very easy way to deal with karma. There's four phases that we go through. Phase one, we do unto others. No extenuate, no circumstances, nothing comes back to us. We can murder, pillage, plunder, steal, rape, murder, lie, whatever we want, we do that. Then we come back into phase two where others do unto us. In other words, for us to do these things, people have to be in our movie. Then after the movie's over, we need to be in their movie. So we're raped or burned or murdered or lied to or cheated or betrayed. Then when we get to phase three, we can see, okay, I did to them, they did to me, it's balanced, let's get on with things. Or you go, I'm not going to let them get away with this, and you go back to phase one. You get trapped into that karmic loop of doing unto others and having others do unto you. Instead of releasing it, moving on, and remembering who you are, and then fulfilling what you came to this planet to do. Your life calling, which is actually the total of the letters of your name, numerically, added to the total of your month, day, and year of birth. That is your life calling. That's what you're supposed to be doing here. And so with all this information, we just get our memory back.
Mm-hmm.
In the article, we lose this memory. After we've made this decision of our name, of our birthday, we then consciously pick our birth or adoptive family. If we're adopted, the reason is we either owed the birth family or they owed us. The birth cancels the debt. We then go to the family we're supposed to be with in this lifetime in order to do what we signed up for. And so we begin this process of coming down to the earth. And if you can imagine the yin-yang symbol, that's what we are. We're perfectly balanced between our celestial soul self and the earthly, emotional, physical, psychological self. Once we cross that horizon, I'll call it the event horizon, once our little yin-yang bubble touches the energy of the earth plane, the ego begins to expand and grow much like a chia pet. And it has these, it looks like, what's going on here? Why why am I alone? Why is it dark? Where is everybody? Did I do something wrong? Am I being punished? Doesn't anybody love me? Have I been abandoned? And just before we get ourselves back together again, we're born. And the first thing they do is they cut the umbilical cord. And the ego goes, hold it right there, buckos. Mm-mm, we're not doing this again. And at that point, we then develop either control or codependency. Control is doing for or not doing for others, but not allowing anybody to do for us, and then getting agitated nobody does for us. And then codependency are clingers, fearful of being alone. They remain even in an abusive relationship. Enablers, people that do things they really don't want to do and generally get an illness or disease as a result of that. And doers, people that make themselves indispensable. We go back and forth along this spectrum of codependency and control until we learn to do what we love, not to be loved or to maintain control. To do this, we hire what I call life trainers, spirit trainers. These are our parents and our friends, everybody we encounter in this lifetime. And we audition every one of them. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to embarrass me. You can humiliate me. You can put me down. You can denigrate me. And you can pat me on the back every 6 years. And so in order to recognize these patterns of doing to be loved or maintaining control, these people come into our life every day. You have to look at it from the standpoint that you're running a multinational company with tens of thousands of employees. And you pay each of these employees time and a half to do this to you on weekends and triple time when you're with your family to pull your chain. Once you recognize this, and it's very easy to do, the minute your blood begins to rise, you're feeling embarrassed or you're feeling angry or frustrated, you've got to go, one of my employees has just shown up. So in your head, mentally, take one step to the side, recognize them as an employee, and don't get sucked into the abandonment issue, which causes a reactive behavior pattern. Make a conscious choice.
I'll tell you, this has just been wonderful. And Michael, I know my listeners are probably saying, I wish I could find out about me. I wish I could do something here. Now, I know you're in Thailand, but gee whiz, we've got technology where anybody could get a hold of you. And your website is awakener.com. Your books,
right.
And you've got two. And for those of you who are listening that maybe are involved in counseling and other things, you might be interested in Numerology for Healing. This was written specifically for practitioners, but anybody can get it. But then the Numerology for Decoding Behavior. This is about your personal numbers, at work, with family, relationships. Michael Brill has been my guest today. Michael, when people want to contact you, they can do that through your website, and you've got a number of things there. Is there a thought you'd like to leave with my listeners before we say goodbye?
Have the courage to do what you love, not to be loved or to maintain control.
Wonderful. That's always a good thought to share. Michael, this has been absolutely delightful, and I wish you the best with the love of your life that you are with now. You are in a beautiful country, Thailand, and I know it's the early hours for you over there, but I'm so delighted that you were able to get up and be just as bright and sassy as you've been and sharing all of your wonderful knowledge, not all of it, but portions of it. But for those of you listening, if you're intrigued with numerology, check out Michael's website. His last name is spelled B like boy, R-I-L-L, Numerology for Decoding Behavior. Again, Michael, thank you so much for being my guest today. This
you're
is
welcome.
Donna Sebo.
Send me an
We're
email at Michael
back.
To Awakener.com.
Oh, Mike, okay, email Michael to or at Awakener.com.
Awakener.com.
That's his email, michael@awakener.com. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today. Wasn't Michael interesting? I just think he is just such a dynamic person, and I hope to have him back on the show again. And numerology is such a fascinating subject. Now, by the way, the telephone lines are open if you'd like to call in and chat with me. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, and all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, you just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can even ask me a question when I'm finished. I want to share with you the people that are going to be coming up on air with me today. We've got a wonderful lineup this week. We have got tomorrow Yisroel, and he is an amazing man. He is a counselor, and he put out a book on marriage, and it's titled Shut Up and Stay Married. Now, when I heard that title, I went, oh, boy, is this something I'm really going to be interested in? You know how your mind will sort of make prejudgments here. But actually, it's quite a good book, and the title is a little bit harsh, but, hey, it gets your attention. And I'm looking very much forward to having him as a guest. On Wednesday, I'm going to be on my way to California, so we're going to have a best of Donna. Dr. Gentry is going to be on the air, and if you miss the show with him, you're going to enjoy him a great deal. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about herbal healing, and this is all for children. Demetria Clark is going to be my guest, and she's quite a gal. She's absolutely marvelous, and her information is very insightful. So many times we want to give antibiotics to children, or we just think that there's a magic pill somewhere. And there are things that we need to be aware of that we can do that are safe, that can work with certain children's conditions, and I think you will enjoy this. Then we're going to be talking about the psilocybin solution. What is that? We're going to be talking mushrooms. This is absolutely amazing as a publication. Simon Powell in London is going to be our guest on Friday, and I think this man has done an incredible job researching information about mushrooms that you're not going to hear from very many people. It's really, really going to be a great show. So we've got wonderful guests this week. Tell your friends and be sure you check out the information under show information about the upcoming guests that are coming on for the remaining part of the month. Now, for those of you in California, I am going to be in Southern California. I'll be in Santa Barbara Wednesday through Friday, and then I'll be in Santa Ana on Saturday, and then after that, I'm going to be on Sunday evening, Monday and Tuesday, I'll be in the Los Angeles, Glendale, Burbank area. So if you want to meet with me, if any of you listening are from that area of the country, you'd like to meet me in person, have a session with me, call me at my office, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. And if you want to talk to me one-on-one today, it's 888-627-6008. I wanted to chat with you today about catching criminals. We have had so many different modalities of criminal behavior that have developed, especially with the advancement of technology. And this is something that people are having to deal with on a daily basis. And I know I've been affected. I have had many friends, professional associates that have been affected by crime. Well, there's a couple that decided they were going to take a stand on this. It's a husband and wife team, Paul and Peggy Sakaur, and they formed a nonprofit crime prevention organization in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's called FactsNet One. And the husband, Paul, what sort of got them into this is that there was a person, in fact, it was a building manager that was up the street from the building he was managing. And there was a guy that was stealing women's purses. He'd just come up, snatch your purse off, he would go. So he decided to get involved, and he thought, you know, if we used a fax machine to alert local businesses of things going on, maybe that could make a difference. So his wife, he talked it over with her, and she said, yeah, let's check it out. Let's just try it. So they got involved with six other businesses, and whenever there was criminal activity, they'd send out a fax. And he said, within 3 weeks, we ended up catching a bank robber, a rapist, broke up a counterfeiting ring, and we even helped find somebody that had Alzheimer's. Wow. Who would have thought? Well, he said they just, and this was just with a small group of businesses. Well, the Phoenix Police Department, when they found out what this couple was doing, they said, would you work with us? And they've been doing this for 21 years. That's right. What happened, they developed FactsNet One. It's a crime information distribution system, and they're involved today with 40 local and statewide police department partners, in addition to federal organizations like the Secret Service, FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security. And they've got now, where they started off with six, they now have 40,000 businesses and community agencies of all kinds, even neighborhood block watch groups, and a lot more than that. That is a lot of people passing information about. So this is how it works. When they get emailed crime alerts from law enforcement, the program that they have automatically faxes a copy to all law enforcement partners, edits and electronically faxes selected alerts to specific member businesses that may be in the path of the potential criminal suspect. And he said, we want to be able to work with faxes. We want the businesses to get paper faxes because you can't doctor it. And he said, it will be seen much faster than if it's emailed. Fascinating thing to do. And if someone like a motel front desk clerk or a pharmacy clerk had to wait for a supervisor to check email, the alert might not be seen in a timely manner. And also, she said, faxes do not have firewalls. So then 2010, they sent 1 million electronically faxed alerts, and the law enforcement authority said the average of one criminal caught every 5 or 6 days is wonderful because of the FactsNet One. And he said it's enabling us to work more efficiently and effectively as police officers. They also have 4 to 5 alerts that may go out daily to over 1,000 of Arizona pharmacies. And there's, you know, they've got all kinds of stories to tell about pharmacies being put on alert, about people that are out robbing pharmacies, doing all kinds of things. And they even had a situation one time where an 8-year-old child was abducted from a schoolyard in Las Vegas by someone that was heading to California. By golly, do you know they were able, with the network that they had, to take care of that little boy. So the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children are working closely with FactsNet One. Now, if you want more information, just go right ahead to their website. I think it's worth checking out, FactsNet1.org. FactsNet1.org. Whenever you think you may not make a difference, keep in mind this couple got a concept just because of what was going on in their own neighborhood. Here they are 21 years later with over 40,000 connections, helping to make people aware so that they don't have to become a victim of a crime. I think it's incredible. And I think Paul and Peggy Sikower have done an awesome job. So do check them out at FactsNet1. That's the number one, .org. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break in just a minute. Hey, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. When we come back, I've got a recipe for you. And, oh, I think I got a story or two, too. Maybe a little bit more. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We've got more to share.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I want a recipe that's going to be a little bit different, but so easy to fix. I do enjoy turkey, but you know what? There's something about turkey that I found really didn't always sit well with me. And perhaps if you've heard some of my other shows, you've heard me make this suggestion. If you're going to fix any poultry and you really want to have it so it's tender and easy to digest, all you need to do, and that may sound a little strange, but turkey sometimes doesn't always sit well with people. What you need to do is take a turkey breast and just soak it in buttermilk. Put it in a plastic bag, pour buttermilk over it, put it in the refrigerator. If you don't like buttermilk, don't worry about it because you're not going to taste it. But what it does, it has an enzymatic property to it, and it's same with chicken. Any of your poultry, you could do with Cornish hens. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. Any poultry, soak it in the buttermilk. Put it in the day before, 24 hours, whatever you want to do. It is amazing how absolutely succulent the meat is. So if you do that, then take the turkey breast out. And I've got a wonderful recipe here because a turkey breast usually is between 4 or 5 pounds. That's typically what you'll get in the store. So you need one turkey breast. You're going to need a can of mushroom stems and pieces, and you want to drain that. And I would just reserve the juice from the mushroom stems for soup because that just adds that little bit of extra flavor. 1/4 cup of dry breadcrumbs, 1/4 cup of snipped parsley, 2 tablespoons of margarine or butter, usually butter is what I use, and that needs to be at room temperature softened. You're going to need a teaspoon of dried tarragon leaves, a half a teaspoon of salt, a quarter of a teaspoon of pepper, a quarter of a cup plus 2 tablespoons of butter, 1 chicken bouillon cube, 3/4 of a cup of water, 2 tablespoons of butter, again, and 1 tablespoon of all-purpose flour. Now, once you have, if you choose to do the marinade, as I suggest in the buttermilk, just take the turkey out of the marinade, throw the buttermilk away, and you want to take and remove the bones from the turkey breast. You cut close to the bones, and you want to leave the skin in one piece. You don't want to take the skin away. And you want to cut the meat in a single piece from one half to use for this breast. And you take the turkey breast half, the bone side down, and you then want to pound it. And you want to pound it into a rectangle that's about 13 by 8 inches. Your mushrooms, your breadcrumbs, your parsley, your 2 tablespoons of melted butter, the tarragon, salt, pepper, mix it all, and then you spread it on the pounded turkey. You roll it up from the narrow end, wrap it in aluminum foil, and place it in an ungreased baking pan. I like to take a toothpick if I can get it in there. Turkey's a little thicker than chicken, but I just like to take a toothpick and sort of anchor it. If you've got a metal skewer, you can use that too, or one of those long bamboo skewers, and I would just say soak your bamboo skewer in water before you would do it. You want to put your turkey roll, place it in the foil, put it in an ungreased baking pan. You bake it at 400 degrees for about 30 minutes, open up the top of the foil, bake it another 25 minutes, and you want to baste it with butter. And then you will increase the oven temperature to 500 degrees. That is different. You didn't expect that, did you? Then you bake it until it's just nice and brown, about 5 minutes, and then you take the turkey and you remove it from the oven and then put it on a platter. I recommend just maybe putting another piece of foil over the top just so that all the juices of the turkey stay inside the turkey itself. And then whatever drippings you've got from your roast, you want to put that in a saucepan, stir in your bouillon cube, your water, your 2 tablespoons of butter, and the flour. Heat it to a boil. Just keep whisking it. It'll get nice and thick. And you serve it with the turkey. Now, one of the things that you can do with this, if you don't want to do the seasonings that are recommended, if you like your stuffing like you get at the store and maybe you've got a preference, you can use a cornmeal stuffing here. You can use a bread stuffing with the flavors of the seasoning packets that they have. And all you have to do is zap the breadcrumbs in a Cuisinart, whatever you want to do, or just stick them in a plastic bag and crush them with a rolling pin, and that's your stuffing. And you can put it right there inside the turkey roll. It is so easy, but it's flavorful. Your meat will stay moist, and it is just so good. And I'll tell you something. Next day, it's good to eat, too. It's great for leftovers. So I wanted to share that with you. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Well, have you ever heard about Pig Olympics? Ah, yes. I'll tell you what. Miniature pigs compete in a Pig Olympics, and that is done in Shanghai. And I'll tell you, I think pigs are just adorable. I really do. Here at the Puyallup Fair, which is one of the biggest fairs in the country, they always have an exhibit with pigs. And when you see these little piglets, they are just absolutely adorable. And you know, pigs are extremely intelligent. Pigs have been known to rescue people. I mean, they are really smart critters. And they start training pigs. You know, our guest was from Thailand today. And in Thailand, they have a particular midget species. And I've got pictures of them in front of me. They start performing when they're a year old. They go over hurdles, they jump through hoops, they dive into water, they swim. They just do everything. We underestimate many times the animals that we have in our life, and I just think it's so much fun to hear about these stories and to know what people do in different parts of the world for entertainment. It's absolutely amazing. I'll share with you quickly. There at the Renaissance Fair that I participated here in Washington, one of the days that I was there, some magnificent roosters, I mean really beautiful, beautiful roosters, gorgeous, gorgeous feathers, got loose. Well, here they are running. This is before the Renaissance Fair opened in the morning, and these roosters are running all over the place. Nobody knew where they came from. They checked with some of the farmers that were around us because the event is held on a farm site, and they said, well, we don't know where these roosters came from. We haven't a clue. So one of the women who happened to have a location of activity across from where my booth was, she said, oh, I'll take them if nobody wants them. So they were herded up. And she said to me, I'm going to, in 1 week, this chicken, one of these chickens is going to be, or roosters, I should say, one of these roosters will be trained. Within 1 week, that woman had that rooster trained where she was walking, or he was walking on the end of a Chihuahua leash. I'm not kidding. This is true. And do you know how she trained the rooster? I know you couldn't guess it in a million years. She trained the rooster with grapes. That's right. You think you've heard everything. Well, not really. You just have to stay tuned to the Donna Sebo Show. You just never know what you're going to hear. This is Donna. I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day. We'll be talking with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.